You're listening to A Poor Girl's Guide to a Rich Life, the podcast where we are becoming the best versions of ourselves, rich in all areas of our lives, not just our bank accounts. I'm Alicia Ward. I'm your host on this journey to create a life rich with fulfillment, health, and mental wealth. In each episode, we'll share insights, we'll share lessons, and we'll share practical tips to empower you on your own path to a rich and meaningful existence. Please make sure to check the show notes for all links and all sponsors, and please subscribe and leave us a review. Thanks for listening. Welcome, welcome. You know, I've been reflecting on 2023. Obviously, we just hit a new year. 2024 is magic. That is my vibe for the year. I've been saying that. It's just been coming up naturally, and it truly feels magic. You know, that's not just by coincidence. I have chosen to follow through on things that I've been meaning to do this year. Things like not drinking alcohol, hence my kombucha in a wine glass, though. If you know, you know. If you're a wino like me, just putting your sparkling water or having something in a wine glass, you know, it itches that scratch. It scratches that itch. I'm not redoing that. And I've been following through. Follow through was a big kind of theme that my best friend and I talked about moving into the new year. Because for New Year's, we actually decided to go do this like banya, it was called. So it was this sauna, and we did like a sound journey, guided meditation, and then went into the sauna, and then there was this huge ice bath, and there was a group of like six of us, I think. We all got in the ice bath, and that's how we rung in the New Year's. We weren't wasted. We didn't party really late. It was like, when I went to bed, I was like, well, I mean, I felt like I had done drugs all night because I was just going from the ice bath. It was insane. So it felt like I had been partying on drugs, but I hadn't. So I don't recommend ice bathing at midnight if you want to sleep well. But if you want to party, take an ice bath. I swear to God, it was better than cocaine. But we set that intention to move into the new year in a healthy way and not being wasted. Because, like, why would you want to start a brand new year hungover as fuck? Like, that sounds awful to me. And I feel like how you start the new year is, like, connected to how your year is going to go. And, you know, that's just me personally. There's no science behind that, okay? But that's just like how I felt, feel. So that was really good. And, you know, moving into, it was like, okay, following through too. So what, it's the 17th today. I've had zero wine. I've cleaned my diet right up. I've been going to the gym consistently and kind of I've gotten re-addicted to it. You know how it's so hard to get back into that routine, but once you cross that threshold, it's like you crave the gym. That's where I'm at. Love that. At first I was like, oh, this is a new gym. I feel uncomfortable. It's super busy. That's why I was digging my berries classes earlier in the year, but it's a very expensive workout. So I think mixing in maybe some berries and the gym is good. I love the cardio at the berries classes. It's like, for those of you who don't know, it's like high intensity training. So you're, yeah, on the floor doing whatever reps, and then you're switching in and out off the treadmills and doing sprints. I am not a treadmill girly. I am not a cardio girly, but in berries, I felt like I was invincible on that treadmill, and I don't even know how my legs were moving that quickly. So if you're in Calgary, wherever they have berries, check it out. It's a fun workout for sure. It's very challenging. So I did that. It's not like I wasn't working out at all, but being in a good gym routine has been helping me a ton. And a friend of mine got me kind of back into the flow of things, and then he explained to me, and a lot of you probably already know this, but for those of you who don't, this has kind of changed the gym game for me, which is push, pull, and leg days. I kind of always did like an upper body and then a leg day or whatever, but push, pull, legs has been really a game changer for me. It's self-explanatory. A push day, you're going to do anything where you're pushing. That's a pull. Push day, if you're watching the video on YouTube right now, you'll see that I pulled when I should have been pushing, when I was talking about pushing. So a push day is any machine that you can find where you're actually pushing out and away from your body. That's going to be your push day. Anything where you're pulling and it's going to be into your body usually. There's lots of machines where you're doing this. You know, a bicep curl would be pulling into your body. Tricep, anything with a cable basically, you know, that's going to be a pull day. And then you're going to have a leg day. So you can rotate those however you want. But that's just been helping me, especially when it comes to a busy gym, a bunch of machinery that I'm no expert at. I just like focus on my push-pull legs and that works great. And I mix in abs pretty much every day if I'm feeling it up for it. So, you know, it feels really good. I mean, it's been proven time and time again that literally working out and taking care of your physical health impacts every other part of your life. And it does. Everything is so connected. So getting on top of it can seem, when there's so many things that you've kind of let fall to the side and you've kind of fallen out of that good routine, it can seem so overwhelming to get back into it consistently. But the truth is that you just got to take it one step at a time, focus on one day at a time, and it becomes so much easier. And then you're like, how was I not holding myself accountable to these easy things that make me feel so good? But we're human. That's the way that it goes. It's fine. Don't stress yourself out. Just move forward with it, you know? So I hope that listening to this episode will encourage you to kind of get back on that horse if you're falling off. It doesn't matter that we're into the new year already, 3 weeks in, whenever you're listening to this, just get started today. And it takes 15 days to build a habit and 90 days to make it a lifestyle. So get on that. It feels so good. But anyways, reflection from 2023 in just how I'm feeling. And I know there is some like planet stuff going on here right away. I think I'm recording this on the 17th, so on the 18th of January, I believe, don't quote me, there's some stuff happening up in space, okay? And it's a big deal. I am no expert at it though, so I can't start to break it down for you. But basically it means that what you focus on in 2024 is going to grow, and it really is the year of magic. So harness that, embrace it, take advantage of it. I know that I am, and I'm only, you know, a few weeks into the new year recording this, and it feels like I've done a full 180 from the last few years, just how I feel. Will it last? If I decide to stay consistent, I'm sure in these good habits and things that I'm doing that make me feel good, you know, like making progress, showing up when I say I'm going to show up, holding myself accountable, following through. It's a vibe. Following through. If you say you're going to do something, even just to yourself or to others, then just do it. It feels so good. You know what I mean? It's funny because I was working in a cafe today and I was working on a freebie that's probably available for you in the show notes. We'll talk a little bit more about it later. So I'm at the cafe, and you know, for the last couple of days, I've been meaning to work on this freebie, but it was like I couldn't find enough time to do it because it felt like it was going to take me, you know, 4 hours. I dropped Rupert off at his hair appointment. I went to this cafe and I sat down for an hour, and it's just like a perspective thing, how, you know, when you're at home running around, you're like, oh, I only have an hour and a half. It's not enough time to accomplish something. But then when you have an hour and a half of uninterrupted time and you sit down, you actually do what you say you're going to do. It's fucking incredible the amount of things that you can get done. So I know we all have a huge to-do list to go through, and just start checking those things off in an hour. If you focus an hour of your day every day to just do the things that you have been not wanting to do, it'll, you know, maybe amaze you how quickly and how much you'll get done and checked off. Anyways, moving on. FOMO versus JOMO is the topic of today's episode. Okay, FOMO, for those of you who don't know, is something that I have dealt with a lot in my life. FOMO is the fear of missing out, okay? And JOMO is the joy of missing out. So I want to talk about replacing your FOMO with JOMO, okay? I was such a sucker for FOMO, okay? For years in my life. If I wasn't included or invited or with people, or I spent too much time alone or at home or just doing routine things, I felt like I was missing out or wasting my life, or, you know, those negative feelings. I would have anxiety and it's just like, I would be sad girl, okay? But it's funny because now, it's not funny because it makes sense, but now after removing myself from the situations where I always was experiencing that and coming into a place where I'm okay with just my alone time. I've gotten to the place where I'm okay to be alone. I actually really value my time that I am alone on the couch, on my laptop, or just hanging out with my dogs or reading a good book or whatever. Like, I make it something that I enjoy. Cultivated this joy of missing out attitude. You know, honestly, for me to want to go out socially now is hard because I experience more joy when I am at home alone, especially in the winter like this. You know, in the summer, I love to get out, maybe go sit on a patio, go watch the sunset or sunrise or whatever. Go do something fun outside. I love that shit 100%. But it's like my season where I am just really focused on me. Selfishly? Yeah, it's fine. It's okay to be selfish, as you should be. If you haven't given yourself the time to truly build a deep, meaningful connection with yourself, you're never going to escape it, okay? So if you're still feeling a ton of FOMO in your life and you're needing like external validation, then it's a sign that you probably haven't worked through some shit, you know? But there's some stuff going on that you probably haven't faced, maybe some emotions that you haven't moved or faced. Maybe there's conversations you haven't had. Maybe there's a big ego. You really give a fuck about what people think about you and no one really gives a shit. Nobody's thinking about you. They're only thinking about themselves. All these things, right? But unfortunately, you know, unfortunately, it takes time is what I was going to say. I got into personal development when I was like 26, 27, okay? And I've been actively practicing it since then, on and off, I'm not saying I show up every day and all that. There's definitely been times of more and times of less. And when I say things like that, it's like reading certain books, it's journaling, it's practicing gratitude, it's investing in my personal growth, going to events, it's listening to podcasts, consuming information like that, it's having deeper conversations, it's setting boundaries, you know, it's getting to know myself, it is spending time alone, it's leaning into the shit that makes you super uncomfortable. And that's it, you know. So the thing is I started that when I was 26, 27, but do you think after 27 years of conditioning that I was just going to get into personal growth and be a totally changed person in a month, 6 months, even a year? No, I mean, there's things that you can do to probably speed up that process, which I have done things too. I have done things like therapy. I've also done plant medicines, ayahuasca, DMT, things like that, meditation retreats. You know, I have done all of that. So everybody's different. Everybody comes from a different past and background, obviously. But we all have trauma and we all have shit that we're going through. And I mean, that can even be generational trauma. Something that I've learned recently about generational trauma that kind of blew my mind, so let me blow yours too, is that, and I hope I don't butcher this explaining it, you know, when your mother was conceived in the womb, you were already a part of her, okay? You were an egg inside of her when she was conceived in the womb. So you have been experiencing everything that she has experienced since the day that she was conceived, and it goes generationally up, obviously. And that is a big part of what you hear when you are like, what the term is of generational trauma, right? Like, you're fucking going through it, everything. And there's a lot of traumatic events that happen in a person's lifetime. Birth in itself is traumatic as fuck. Can you imagine coming into the world and there is screaming and there's beeping and there is fluorescent lights blasting on you and there's like four figures standing above you and you're coming out and you're blasting in, your eyes open, you take your first breath of air, and then you got hands all over you, and loud and bright, and it's traumatic just to think about it. And that is the way that we, most of us, enter the world. You know, my little sister, actually, side note, a little personal note about me, my little sister was actually born at home, and my mom had a midwife, which is crazy, because we lived, like, way out in the country. But yeah, Emma was born at home, and we woke up because we could hear my mom like in pain, and we thought maybe she was just having more contractions, or you know, when you're coming up to your due date, you know, you get those pains, you're not sure if you're having the baby or not. That was happening. We all left. The midwife was there. My mom was like on the couch, ready to give birth. I'll never forget. Core memory for me, you know? And we came down on the stairs and we were watching. And then the midwife like looked up. She's like, do you want to come watch? And I was like, yeah. And I would have been 7. Went down, sat literally, whoa, I just got chills because 7 is the same age as my niece right now. It's just wild. Ugh. Anyways, went down, literally sat beside the midwife and just experienced childbirth head on. It was intense at our house and I'll never forget. And then after Emma was born and the midwife left, I could not sleep and it was a school night. And I remember I went downstairs and it was like 3 a.m. and my dad was like cleaning up. He literally had the placenta, which is crazy because now people will like get their placentas made into pills and stuff like that. But that's not what we did. We literally, I feel weird saying this. We threw the placenta in the outhouse because when I grew up, we didn't have an indoor toilet. I was about 12, I think. We had an outhouse. No fucking joke. So we're talking minus 30 in the winter. It's pitch black and you got to go pee or poop. You're like walking outside to the outhouse. Anyways, for emergencies, we had this. I'm getting off track here. But for emergencies, we had this like big white soup pot for the kids because there are 6 of us, you know. So if it was a super emergency, like we could go in the bucket, we called it. Not usually number 2 ever, but number 1. Man, I can't believe I just shared that story with you. But anyway, so I go down, it's 3 a.m. I'm like, Dad, I can't sleep. He's got the bucket with the placenta in it. And he's taking it out to the outhouse to dump it down. And I went with him. And then I remember eating donuts. I don't know where the fuck these donuts came from because we never had treats or anything like that. Maybe the midwife brought them. But yeah, and then we ate these chocolate glazed donuts. And then I still went to school the next morning. Fucking core memory, man. And it probably helped with my whole, like, birth control growing up. Because I've never been pregnant. And it hasn't been anything that I wanted to have happen to me until now. And, like, you know, as I've been getting into my 30s and older, obviously my biological clock is ticking and my ovaries are like, let's have a baby. But working on that. So anyways, where was I going with that? Oh, so that was obviously a much more relaxed kind of environment to be born into. But we just don't think about the traumas and stuff that we can experience. And we definitely don't think about how generational trauma can be like that. Like you were already in your mother when she was conceived and then you experienced her entire life with you and you were the egg that got to be a human being. You know what I mean? It's fucking bananas. So in terms of healing trauma, you know, a lot of us don't realize what the trauma that we've experienced, how it's manifesting in our lives. And I personally believe that for a lot of people, it becomes substance abuse in some way or some type of addiction. I mean, there's countless addictions out there, whether it's drugs or alcohol or sex, porn, they kind of go together, you know, just maybe drama, chaos. I think we talked a bit about this in the last episode. You know, there's so many vices, smoking, so many vices that people can have. Even the gym can be an addiction. You know, people need vices because why do they need vices? Like, why does that come up? Is it because there's trauma that hasn't been faced and dealt with? I don't know, but it's worth fucking trying to sort it all out. Just in case, because the sole purpose in your life is like you deserve to be happy. You deserve to wake up and love your fucking life, okay? 100%. No one is meant to go through this life miserable. We're here to like grow and to learn and to evolve and to experience all the fucking amazing things that can happen in your life. But some people don't truly get to know themselves. They don't truly spend that time building a relationship with themselves. And like I said, if I went through 27 years of trauma and just life experiences before I actually started tapping into personal development and getting like the tools that I needed and the awareness and consuming the right stuff. And for me, you know, it was years of learning. It was years of reading books, listening to podcasts, starting my own podcast, learning to be vulnerable, sharing my story. It was, years of investing and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars investing into events where I was going. I was in groups of people who were like facing their fears and getting vulnerable and doing like these crazy workshops and things. You know, I spent years and so much money investing into that, investing time and money into those things. And then it was time to just do the inner work. And for me to do my inner work, a big part of that I, you know, a big parts of that was getting out of a relationship that I was stuck in fight or flight in. And I just wasn't happy in at the end of the day because there was no reason for me to not be happy with everything that I had and we had accomplished, but it just wasn't there for me. I was always in fight or flight. And so I left it. And even though that was so hard overall, I'm very grateful that it happened. I'm very grateful that I am where I'm at now. And I know that, you know, I avoided almost a life of mediocrity for myself because I don't think I would have done the inner work that I've done had I stayed there, or it would have happened so differently, or I would have done the wrong things for the wrong reasons, I think, you know, maybe like big life events like having kids or getting married for the wrong reasons. And instead I removed myself from a place where I just felt constantly unhappy, I guess, moody or anxious or whatever, like triggered all the time, in fight or flight is the best way to explain it. I removed myself from that, and then I went through the hard shit, and then I like totally leaned into the things that scared me the most, which was packing up everything and selling most things and moving to another country. Really fighting back about all the bullshit stuff about the pandemic and the shots, because that was like a no-go for me. And being alone, you know? Obviously, I don't have issues, not to sound conceited, but I just want to be real, finding guys who would want to try having a relationship with me. It's not that difficult. I mean, especially with dating apps and things nowadays and my social media, I could have had boyfriends many of times. And there was a lot of guys who said they fell in love with me. I mean, if you're watching the video right now, you would have seen my facial expression to that. My thoughts on that now is like they didn't even really know what love is, but I knew that love was more than what they thought they were experiencing. I knew love was like a deeper connection, and I knew that I would never truly be in love or attract the right kind of healthy love into my life until I fucking love myself deeply. And I don't believe that you can fall in love with yourself when you're, you know, worried about how someone else feels about you, or when you're completely in love with somebody else that you're not even working on the love that you have for yourself because you're wanting the love from another person to validate you. And I struggled with that for years, you know? So if I have any advice for you listening, is like I hope you're young listening to this and you start finding your self-love sooner, because God damn, if I would have found my self-love, my self-worth in my younger 20s, I think a lot would be different. But I wasn't meant for that, because I wasn't meant to experience things the way that I did so I could be here talking to you right now, so that you can hopefully learn from me waiting too long to actually do the scary things and fall in love with myself. And I do. And falling in love with yourself and having self-love and self-worth doesn't mean that you think you're fucking better than anybody. No, it means that even if you make mistakes, and through the good times and the bad and the stressful and the hard and the amazing, you love yourself just the same. That you forgive yourself for things that have happened or wrong decisions that you made. That you create space for the relationships and things in your life that make you feel good. And you set boundaries with the things that don't make you feel good. And when you get connected to yourself and you actually spend time alone and you learn how to feel your emotions, that's what you have to do first, because in order for you to understand what kind of brings you joy and what feels bad, you have to understand and learn how to like truly feel your emotions instead of just numbing them out with substances or whatever addiction or whatever vice, let's say vice, not addiction, that you may have to help you, okay? And that could be tons of things. It could be literally just watching Netflix every night. For example, for the last few nights before recording this episode, I have been watching Netflix. I've been deep into like a reality show, Vanderpump Rules, I don't know. I've been deep into it. But last night, I put my niece and my nephew to bed. I was babysitting them for a bit, and I came home. And instead of turning on Netflix, I decided to journal, meditate a little bit. Nothing serious. I just turned on a peaceful meditation playlist from Spotify. I sat in my bed and I ended up having, out of fucking nowhere, like the most profound emotional experience that I have had ever, I think. But like, I haven't had something like this for a long time. How do I say this without sounding totally out there for some of you? So there has been a lot of times since I started in this personal development space and learning about spirituality, I've heard that word spirituality. I've had experiences at times where something has happened, whether it be a sign in numbers or just a feeling, where I'm overcome with emotion that I can't control. It just happens. And those moments to me are the moments when, you know, the source, God, higher power, whatever, is literally like screaming at me, and it's a sign, right? It's like when I feel that emotion come out of nowhere, I know whatever it is that I'm thinking about or what's on my mind or what is happening is like, it's like, this is a fucking sign. Yes, like, yes, go in this direction, okay? So that happened to me last night. Do I think it's any coincidence that in 2024 I haven't drank yet? I've been doing all the things, healthy, showing up, having healthy relationship, cutting unhealthy ones out, which we talked about in the last episode. That's been huge for me in 2024. Is it any coincidence that I had this crazy experience when all these things are aligned? Absolutely not. Because there, you know, has been pockets of time where I haven't been connected to myself at all. And when I am truly connected to myself, that's when I'll have those emotional experiences. That's when I'll get the chills on my body for certain things. That's when I'll be seeing like numbers, angel numbers and stuff all the time, like 1111 or 111. And those are just my personal experiences of when I know that I'm connected and in flow versus maybe let's say I went and partied for a week like I used to in Kelowna. I would not have experiences like that. I wouldn't be in tune with my emotions. I would not get shivers, goosebumps. I wouldn't be seeing 111 a lot. That's just the way that all the time, like 1111 or 111. And those are just my personal experiences of when I know that I'm connected and in flow versus maybe let's say I went and partied for a week like I used to in Kelowna. I would not have experiences like that. I wouldn't be in tune with my emotions. I would not get shivers, goosebumps. I wouldn't be seeing 111 a lot. That's just the way that it goes for me. So having that experience last night, I was like, wow, I am in a really great place and I'm really grateful. And it makes me want to continue showing up for myself. So ditching the FOMO, maybe this can be your vibe for 2024. Ditch the fucking FOMO and find the JOMO, the joy of missing out. You know, the goal is to get to a place where you can just vibe high in your own company. Because here's the thing, you need to be the energy that you want to attract. All right. We all say things, we all have intentions, and maybe we say that we're going to do things. But the reality is that in life, you will attract who you are, not the things that you want. We all want things. Of course, we all want millions of dollars and we all want the perfect love. Whatever the fuck it is that you want. Wanting something is great, but you will attract who you are. Meaning you have to start living the way that the person who has all the things that you want, that the version of you that has all those things that you can see in your mind, you need to start acting like that person or the person that you need to be in order to have those things. You have to start believing that you can. You have to start showing up in life in the ways that the person who has all those things would, you know? And so for me, just because I'll use myself as an example, right? I want so many things. I want a healthy love and a healthy relationship. I want to have a family. I want a successful business. I want a best-selling book, blah, 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 blah. But do I think that that party alley that you guys saw on Instagram and stuff for a while, years, Was Party Ellie the version of me that was able to get those things?
No,
absolutely not. And that's okay. It was a phase and a chapter of my life that is over, because now I'm ready to step into the fucking shoes of the version of me that is literally getting everything that she wants quickly, like magic, because that's what happens when we focus and we follow through and we connect ourselves and we fucking love ourselves and value ourselves, and that we know that we can accomplish things that the average person doesn't think is possible. You're seriously capable of so much. Okay? Now, again, we're going to finish this episode up, but I want to circle back to the fact that it takes time to find JOMO and ditch the FOMO. Okay? Again, you have X amount of years of conditioning. So if you think that meditating for 5 minutes or doing a hot yoga class is going to fix all of that, then you're probably high, okay? Because everybody in society right now, especially, wants that quick fix. They want the get rich quick overnight. They want immediate results. They don't want to work hard for the results. You know, there's so many. And I mean, it's available to us everywhere that you look. Look at Ozempic, for example. People want to lose weight and they're taking Ozempic. People who don't even need to take it are fucking taking it. Right? But they want that quick fix. They don't want to do the work. And that's, and it's just easy. Everything is available and become so easy for us to have that we've lost touch with like actually working hard and doing the work to be better, our best versions of ourselves. And I mean, key pharmaceuticals, because pharmaceuticals make people think that they can just fucking take a pill and it's gonna make them feel better and happier and heal the shit that's going on internally. And it's just not gonna happen like that. Fucking do the hard work. Show up for yourself. And it takes fucking time. So that's why you should start today. You know, you don't wanna look back when you're 50 or 60 and be like, fuck, now I see how important that was. Do it now. If you get anything from this episode, it's to fucking start now if you haven't. And if you need support in that, there is just so much. Follow along on this podcast, follow on my Instagram. Just like make sure you're surrounding yourself with the right kind of fucking energy that's going to take you to where you want to go. Okay? Find JOMO in the things that light your soul on fire. And then work on that consistently. If being hungover does not light your soul on fire, maybe you shouldn't be hungover every fucking Sunday of the month. Because I was there. Spent an entire Sunday being hungover as fuck on the couch. What a waste. Okay? Not saying that I won't ever do that again. I probably will. But it was every single Sunday. And now I love Sundays because it's my Sunday reset day. I like to go to the gym. I like to still get up and be, you know, make some progress on whatever I'm working on. Go to the gym, get groceries, do my Sunday reset, clean my whole place. So then I'm moving into the week really strong. I fucking love that for Sunday. So I've replaced the fear of missing out, going out on Fridays and Saturdays on the weekend with JOMO, which is the joy of missing out, so that I can feel fucking good on Sunday and start my week so strong. I'm 33 now, so my hangovers last literally like 3 days. So yeah, that's out now. And then value the deep, real connection that you're building with yourself and then with others. You know, don't worry about the fake, superficial connections. Build the ones that make you feel like you're getting energized from them. And then steer clear of the ones that drain your energy, okay? And, you know, pay attention to how you feel when you're with people. And actions. This is what I want to finish on, okay? Actions are everything. If you have thoughts and intentions, great. But if you're not taking action towards those things and you're not showing up for yourself and you're not holding yourself accountable, then it's just words. It's just words. Words without actions and words without follow-through are just fucking simply that, words, okay? And if you can't trust your own word, then who can? You know what I mean? It all starts with you. It all starts with that inner work. It all starts with you replacing your FOMO with the JOMO, baby. I'll talk to you next week on another episode. Please don't forget to check the show notes for all links that you may need. Also, there's a new freebie in there for faceless marketing, which might be something that you're into. Check it out. Thanks for listening and being a subscriber to A Poor Girl's Guide to a Rich Life. Your support means so much to me. Don't forget to check the show notes for any and all links. You never know what you're going to find there. It can be different every single time. And again, don't forget to drop us a review. It helps the podcast so much. I do this for free, so that means the world to me. We'll catch you next week in another episode.